This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
And I say, hey, what a wonderful kind of day. If you could learn to work and play and get along with each other.
Welcome, everybody, to Wednesday Warriors episode 35. Joining me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Liam. Liam, tell me all about NXT TakeOver in your house.
Yep. So, the show...
Right.
...started...
Mm-hmm.
...with...
Yeah?
Damien Priest.
No?
The six-woman tag.
Yeah, what do you think of that match?
That was a good match, in which Dakota Kai's team.
Yeah, what did they do?
Won the second place prize when they lost the match, and then after that, Damian Priest.
Now that I think about it, what did come second? Yeah, I think it was that match.
Lost Finn Balor.
Mm-hmm.
He had cool white pants.
Actually, it is quite telling that you did, in fact, watch NXT this week and you did not know the result of the six women's tag. That is probably reflective of NXT storytelling, that they did not communicate that.
What are you talking about? I did know. I know the whole show's results.
Then what do we have next?
Johnny Gargano.
Cat's pajamas.
Lost.
Mm-hmm.
To Keith Lee.
Mm-hmm. Limitless.
And then it was the world title match.
Probably. There's no way of knowing.
And Adam Cole won that match.
Bebe.
And of course, in the main event, Lo Shirai.
Yeah.
Pinned Charlotte. No, because that would make too much sense. Pinned Rhea. To win the title.
You did miss Karrion Kross defeating Tommaso Ciampa, but don't worry about it.
But according to my recollection of the show, there was constant Zoom reactions the entire time.
Was there?
Well, from the bit that I watched at the start of this show with the recap, yeah, there was.
Sure thing. Yes, indeed. TakeOver in your house was this weekend. Liam, of course, watched it.
Yep.
I did say that if Charlotte lost the title without being pinned, Liam, I would open the show with 35 minutes of ranting.
Well, before we get to that.
Okay.
As a firm, you know, these NXT in your house and this week's NXT, both
right,
firmly pointing us in the case and in the... the reality in which our slogan, we are never wrong.
We are in fact never wrong, except when you entirely predicted what the backlog brawl would be and you were entirely wrong.
That was the B-roll. You guys didn't see it. Only insiders like us got to see the real match.
Only NXT Patreon subscribers got the extra behind the scenes stuff. And you know, you got to subscribe to the NXT Patreon. You got to keep Paul going. Mm.
And we were right about everything.
We're never wrong.
Right about Phantasma. Mm-hmm. Right about the main event.
Right.
Hashtag never wrong.
Indeed.
And now we will begin 35 minutes of Garrett ranting starting now.
I really do hate it. It makes, and there's people that will defend it until the end of time, because I tweeted about how stupid Charlotte beating Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania, unstoppable monster, unbeatable babyface, biggest star in the brand, actually feels like a difference maker in NXT. Rhea Ripley loses to Charlotte at WrestleMania, which, okay. We then, if you go back and listen to the episode right after WrestleMania, we're like, well, the story here is obvious. Charlotte runs through a bunch of people on NXT, you build Rhea back up, and then Rhea wins the title back, conquering Charlotte, fighting on behalf of her brand, and she looks good. It's a nice little tidy story that uses Charlotte to elevate Rhea Ripley and create another star and another brand. But WWE couldn't do that, because they are literally incompetent and incapable of doing good things. So instead, Rhea Ripley loses at WrestleMania, then disappears for a month. Charlotte beats Mia Yim, then has dumbass disqualification win defeats against Io Shirai, then a stupid tag match, and then we get to... Oh, no, I even forgot about the DQ and Rhea and frickin' Io as well. So we had another stupid step in the story, and then we get to NXT TakeOver In Your House, a triple threat match for the NXT Women's Championship between Rhea Ripley, Io Shirai, and Charlotte. And you're like, surely they can't mess this up. This is where, you know, Io's there too, but this is where Rhea beats Charlotte. She gets her win back, and she's back on top as the champion of the brand. And they're like, nah. Instead, Io pins Rhea. So if you're like, how does that help Rhea Ripley? The answer is, it doesn't. If you're asking the question, how has Charlotte's excursion to NXT helped NXT? The answer is, it didn't. Or if you're asking, how does this help Io Shirai? I guess she's champion, but she pinned the nerd that, you know, no one cares about anymore. So NXT is the third brand. They will never shake the stigma of being the third brand. They're still the developmental brand. People are still being called up from NXT no matter what Triple H says on a conference call. So if you want to reinforce the idea over and over again that this brand is inferior, they did a pretty good job of that by sending Charlotte down there. That everyone down there is just nerds that Charlotte cannot lose to because Charlotte is the star and everyone NXT isn't. And it's one of those things, it runs so counter to just simple wrestling booking logic that you're like, what are you even doing here? Why are we doing this? Why does it happen like this? Why did you set up a situation in which you have a quote-unquote star who did not move ratings whatsoever, Charlotte, come down, beat everybody, not get beaten, and then presumably just go back? And even if she comes back, even if she loses to Rhea now, it's too late. And in, I don't know, in like 2 years, we're going to look back and ask the question, where did it go wrong with Rhea Ripley? In the same way we've asked the questions, where did it go wrong with Roman Reigns? And where did it go wrong with Seth Rollins? And where did it go wrong with Finn Balor? And where did it go wrong with Dean Ambrose? And where did it go wrong with Braun Strowman? And where did it go wrong with Daniel Bryan? And where did it go wrong with CM Punk? We're going to look back and ask the question, where did it go wrong with Rhea Ripley? And we can point square to this feud with Charlotte. This is exactly the moment where she went from a big deal to nothing.
Only 31 minutes left.
Do you have any thoughts on this, Liam?
I couldn't possibly care anymore. Nothing in this company matters.
Uh-huh.
Nobody will be a real star because they don't care to make anybody a real star. So just watch your matches, find a favorite, I guess, and hope that they get their turn. Because that's all it is. No one's being pushed to be a star. No one's being tried to make a legitimate draw. There's no one out there that they want to be on the same level as a John Cena. Because guess what? They don't want another John Cena. They want a WWE. They want a name brand that draws. They don't care about making a person the draw anymore. Because eventually they'll leave. Because they all leave. Or they don't work out. So that's it. Who cares? Don't be invested in anyone anymore. There's no reason to.
And of course, that is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Because if you do not push anybody, if you do not give them a creatively fulfilling place to work, they will not want to work there. As we've seen with The Revival, who we'll talk about on this show. As we've seen with Jon Moxley, who we'll talk about on this show. So if people do not enjoy going to work, if they do not enjoy what they do, they won't want to stay there, even if they're being paid well. Because, like, Jon Moxley was probably offered a truckload of money. He still didn't want to stay there because he was miserable. So you create the self-fulfilling prophecy of, like, people will leave because it's not a good place to work, so they won't push anybody because everybody leaves. And it's a bizarre, horrible situation they've put themselves in through sheer incompetence.
I don't even think it's incompetence. I think it's, like, partly
it's
that...
It's a difference, yeah. It's indifference.
They don't want it. They don't want to make a star. Like, they don't... That's like they're actively not putting that effort in because they just want to have guys on their show. They don't care about having a star that's transcending and goes through other mediums to draw new fans. They don't care. They just want to get the ones that they have, try and keep them, which is not even working. But they don't care about making a new star to carry the company. They want the company to carry the company. And it's a strategy that's working out very good for them.
Well, they got those big TV deals, but otherwise they're driving off people in droves, which is a wonderful situation they put themselves in.
But what happens when those TV deals end?
Well, I thought the TV apocalypse was the last TV renewal, and they got TV deals that are better than they could ever imagine. So what do I know?
Yeah, but they would still had like double the viewers at that point.
So yeah, I'd be like, well, what happens when these TV deals come for renewal? And I don't know, they get even more money again, and they're rewarded for their income just by being like a relatively big brand who can pull 2 million people on television still, but barely. The network TV, actually, the fact that they only draw, they struggle to break 2 million at the moment for SmackDown on network television, which is like patently absurd. But the fact that they're continually rewarded for this, even though like less people are watching, less people go to shows, less people subscribe to the network,
they
less
had
people
to
are
stop
buying
doing live events.
Yeah, they became unprofitable to do live events. The only reason they did it was because the wrestler contract structure is basically that set up so that if they don't do live events, these wrestlers don't get paid, and these wrestlers will be very upset if they don't get paid.
Oh, well.
So yeah, that's your NXT TakeOver In Your House breakdown. It was actually a pretty good show on the whole. I thought the only match I actively didn't like was the Backlot Brawl, which I thought was once again one of those boring WWE cinematic matches because they don't know how to do them. I thought every other match was either good or effective, and I thought Finn Balor against Damian Priest was a tremendous match.
The fucking snakes.
It's rare that I unequivocally like a Damian Priest match, but here we are.
Big baby face.
And we'll talk about that in this show. He's not, yeah, him losing to Finn Balor was a babyface turn by all accounts, but we'll get into that. Every week we talk about AEW Dynamite and WWE NXT as we transition into these television shows. AEW won last week, so we will talk about AEW Dynamite first, which opened with FTR taking on The Butcher and the Blade in the debut of the team formerly known as The Revival, and a debut in which, bar a dodgy shatter machine, I thought they looked really good here. They looked sharp as hell.
I loved this match.
Yeah, this was
really loved this
snug
match.
They hit each other. FTR worked in a way that you could tell they were motivated. But like everything they did had snap and punch, and it was crisp. And it's like, yeah, this is good wrestling.
I remember when I was watching it, I was like, this is just smooth. Like everything they're doing is so smooth, so crisp, so clean. I was like, these are like well polished professional wrestlers on both sides, and they were beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah, and Jericho was enjoying it. He was like, this is my meat and potatoes wrestling that I love.
And he's like, we don't get this normally.
And all the old men were watching in the crowd. You had Aaron and Tully and Jake just sitting there watching
the throwback tag teams. They're all trying to sign
The
Butcher and the Blade to their brands.
Of course.
The scouting for that big The Butcher push, who Andy Williams rules. It's so cool. I have like such a weird, like unexplicit, like, I don't know why, but I just think he's such a good like character. I'd put him on every poster. That's how much I love Andy Williams' look.
You love twirling mustaches?
I mean, maybe.
Bald heads?
Yeah, I liked him when he had the hair more, to be honest. I was kind of sad when he came up with the short haircut. And Justin Roberts is back.
Indeed, Justin Roberts is back as ring announcer. I agree. I thought this match was really good. I thought FTR looked really good here. I thought like really, really good. If you were looking for a debut, we were like, oh, that's a team that like really like wants to make up for the fact that they haven't been able to do what they love for basically 3 years. You can see it. You can see it when you watch this match. They're motivated and they want to work. And there's lots of teams in AEW for them to have very good matches with.
But like that's the whole thing with them is like, they've always just wanted to wrestle. Like, that's always been their thing. There was never like a... it wasn't a, oh no, we want more money. It's just, we just want to work. Let us work. Damn it.
It was the same with Mike Bennett. I know like people don't love Mike Bennett, but like all Mike Bennett wanted to do was wrestle. Like not even like, you know, have main event matches. The dude just wanted to have matches.
The dude just wanted to be on live events. He didn't care. He just wanted to do matches.
He literally just wanted to wrestle, and he couldn't even get that out of WWE, which is, those companies absurd.
He just wanted to do his job.
After the match, the Young Bucks came out, they congratulated FTR, then Kenny and Hangman came out, so we're teasing a three-way tag feud, or maybe a number one contenders match between the Bucks and FTR to face Kenny Omega and Hangman Page. That's the direction anyway, by the looks of it.
Yeah, and it's going to be really... Both those matches are going to be awesome. I think you should save the Young Bucks match, because that can main event at pay-per-view. So maybe they'll somehow skip right past the Bucks and go straight to Kenny and Hangman.
And I think I'm looking forward to the Kenny and Hangman match more.
Yeah.
Is that weird?
Well, Kenny and Hangman have been the better team this year.
That is true.
And I did think it was really interesting that Arn Anderson was in the crowd, like, and being one of the, like, prospective signing guys or whatever they were, because that was clearly the thing they were pushing, was like all of these guys are looking to maybe sign FTR as like a team in their respective stables, which I guess they're now going to start building.
And I think they also, a typical Cody old school nostalgia, I think they liked the idea of having the Brainbusters in the crowd watching the team that are obviously the modern equivalent of the Brainbusters.
There's gonna be like some weird long-term story I feel, where like the Nightmare Family and the Elite do a full split. Because, like, Cody and the Elite never interact anymore.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Just an interesting point that, like, eventually... Like, there's a very clear story there where, like, the Elite guys go, hey, you haven't paid attention to us for, like, 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who turns heel, though?
Cody. The fans are already starting to... Like, it's just from, like, internet response. Like, people are turning on Cody, man. It's the problem now that you can't book a babyface ace anymore. It doesn't work.
I think you made a salient point last week, though, that it doesn't help Cody that he doesn't have that big ace crowd response.
Yeah.
So it takes some of his shine away and makes it... It does just make it look like a dude who's a main eventer who's now just beating all of the undercard guys.
Oh, well, maybe we'll have crowds soon.
But, like, equally, Mark Quinn and, like... Well, Jungle Boy is probably a worst person to beat, but still, you can beat Jungle Boy. But Mark Quinn, you can beat in a singles match every day of the week. You can beat Mark Quinn in a tag team match every day of the week.
Mark Quinn just having, like, a match where he got some cool moves on Cody is, like, an upgrade for him.
Mm. Elevation via association.
Yeah. How did he get that match? What did he... He got hurt and he got a title match? Why didn't it even go to Isaiah Cassidy? I was so confused by his choice. Even though, like, you know, it was Phoenix, apparently, but...
Don't you worry about editing mistakes in AEW Dynamite that they should definitely have caught.
I wonder if that, like... You know how they did the little Road 2-esque promo for the main event?
Mm.
I do wonder if that entire promo he was talking about Phoenix, because they don't mention Mark Quinn by name at all.
There's a good chance he is. I really hope he is. That would be funny.
I was listening to it, and he was talking, like, about world-class athletes. I was like, is this meant to be about Phoenix?
They cut around the fact that he said Phoenix's name a couple times. I'm with you on this conspiracy theory that they recut that promo to remove all mentions of Phoenix and just pretend it was about Mark Quinn.
I just thought it was very interesting that he'd never mentioned Mark Quinn by name.
Dasha Gonzalez is interviewing the Nightmare, the Natural Nightmares, not the Nightmare Collective. Though they're also, is Ali now part of the Nightmare Collective as well, Liam?
Wow, this is just levels to this.
Or the Nightmare Family, even.
Well, that's what the whole point of this promo was. QT says that she is.
She got a
Jericho
jacket.
Says that she is.
The jacket is the sole indicator of the Nightmare Family.
Mm. And did you see their little fun Dark segment that they had?
I don't watch Dark. I'm not a mom. Actually, no, I'm very upset with you. I tried to engage with you on Dark during the week, and you just ignored it.
I don't remember what you said.
I was very upset that Alan Angels beat Lee Johnson.
No, I did respond.
No, you didn't.
I sent
you
a message.
On to something else.
No, I sent you a message later on because I hadn't watched Dark at that point. I sent you a message saying that at least Lee Johnson lost to Alan Angels of all the Dark Order members.
Oh, no, I'm upset. It's worse that he's now a Dark Order man. If he just lost to Alan Angels, I'd be like, oh yeah, cool Young Lions match.
I was sad.
But no,
I was legitimately disappointed, not in like a storyline way, but like just as a fan, that Alan Angels had to turn to the dark side to get his first win.
Oh, he had to go to the door, and he's now part of the Dark Order, which means
he's number
just
five.
Like, he's completely out of my brain for the rest of time, like all of them.
And Alex Reynolds and Silver are officially 3 and 4.
So Preston Vance all the way down to 10.
Wait, yeah, who's 6 through 9? We saw like 8 at one point, didn't we?
I think it was 9. I think we saw.
Oh, we saw like 8 and 7. In a tag match.
So, yeah. Poor Preston Vance. Why are all these people out? Why does Alan Angels come straight in at 5?
Well, I like that in some things he's Preston 10 Vance, and in some things he's Alan Angel 5.
Oh, God, no. I hate it. I hate it so much. No, don't do that.
We're just going all around this show at the moment. We're like, yeah, we'll talk about things that happen later. But anyway, the dark bit that I was talking about, QT Marshall had a singles match. It was originally scheduled to be a tag match, but then Ali convinced him that it should be a singles match because he's a big star. And Ali made these really nice shirts, these new Natural Disaster shirts, which just featured QT in a big, his big PNG in the front, and then tiny little Brandy and Dustin. And then she spent all night making shirts for Brandy and Dustin, and they were like 7XL. And QT was like, you have to wear them.
I like this little story.
Yeah, dark rules, man.
No, I'm not going to watch 90 minutes of squash matches.
Every match on Dark's, for some reason, actually has a story behind it now.
If Dark was still a half hour, if it was like three matches like that, I'd be like, all right. But it's like freaking 7 or 8. I'm like, nah.
The thing's like 9 sometimes.
Yeah, there's like, when it's like 9 matches that are all squash, I'm just like, I'm not going to watch that.
I
like,
do.
No.
I do appreciate that Dark is kind of like the NXT for AEW, and acts are getting called up. Like, they're starting acts in Dark and they're turning them into Dynamite acts.
You gotta work on the act. You gotta polish it up on Dark where nobody's watching.
And we saw one of those acts come up today.
We're jumping over the show.
We're jumping over this entire show. It doesn't matter anymore.
Structure. Nyla Rose and Penelope Ford beat Hikaru Shida and Chris Statlander. Very good match. I like this match a lot.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Penelope getting a little pushky.
Yeah, Penelope pinned the champ, which one would presume leads her to getting a title shot, which isn't the match I'm particularly looking forward to, but I think it'll be pretty good.
It'll be good, like, if it's 8 minutes, but there's a good chance it's 14.
Yeah, well, it probably should be like 6 minutes as opposed to 8, but well, yeah, they do seem to insist on all these matches being 2-segment matches, even when some of them should not be 2-segment matches.
I don't even think this should have been 2-segment matches. That's 2-segment match. Why did this have to go 10 and also the Revival tag match go 10? Because that means they're just going to be compared to each other.
Yeah, they do have a horrible habit of, like, too many of their mid-card matches go through breaks when they shouldn't. They just shouldn't. They should just run them through. Yeah, like this, instead of being, like, this was 6 minutes of TV time, or, well, probably 7 minutes of TV time, but, like, it was 10 and a break. Just make it 7 minutes and go to the break. Just reformat your show, AEW. I don't like these breaks during matches that shouldn't probably have breaks.
Yep.
Darby Allin was with his good friend Tony Hawk.
I like how, like, more so than WWE ever has, it's just, like, a string of, like, actual celebrities in a row that aren't McGruber.
Mm. And aren't promoting anything either. They're just there because, I don't know, I suppose they want to be there.
They're just friends of friends.
It's like, yeah, Tony Hawk was there, and Darby Allin tried to skateboard down a ladder.
Darby
Allin. Nice little video.
Put him in Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
They should put him in the freaking remake of Tony Hawk Pro Skater. They should make a Darby Allin Pro Skater.
Or Tony Hawk in the upcoming AEW game.
They should also do that. Wasn't there, Spider-Man was a playable character in the original Tony Hawk games, wasn't he?
Yes. He can be, and the Darth Darby can take the Spider-Man Maul? Spot.
Yeah, you can take the Spider-Man spot from pretty soon, September, isn't it? That Tony Hawk game?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's September, the remake of 1 and 2. But yes, Tony Hawk. They screwed Mike Tyson. I want to see Tony Hawk and Darby Allin against Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara.
Hell yeah. Less sex gods versus less skate gods.
Ah, yeah. I'd watch the hell out of that. Tony Hawk, cool guy.
Yeah, Tony Hawk, like, legitimately interesting dude.
Hmm.
He seems like a good dude. For someone who is, like,
yet, which is always
as absurdly rich as he is.
And as someone who's, like, who was at the height of his popularity in the early 2000s, which is when literally everyone on Earth has been cancelled, and he hasn't been cancelled, so that's, like, that's a plus.
Probably helps to just be a cool guy.
There's probably going to be people after this podcast, like, this is why Tony Hawk is cancelled, and it will break my heart. But, not quite Tom Hanks break my heart, but, alas.
It's kind of
who's the person that would get cancelled to break your heart, Liam? If someone, if it comes out that they're cancelled, and it would, like, just break you.
Whew. That's a question. I think everyone that I like is cancelled already, so.
Liam only has problematic faves.
All my faves are problematic, so. Like, man, if this Donald Trump guy, who would, Garrett Kidney.
Oh no, Poppy? Would you be upset if Poppy was cancelled?
Poppy was cancelled, I'm pretty sure, at one point.
Oh no.
Everyone's been cancelled. I don't have any favorites anymore.
on the topic of your problematic faves, Jake Hager.
Why is he my favorite?
Tad and Ortiz, the loose to Orange Cassidy.
Chuck Taylor. Chuck Taylor, good.
He's the most problematic of people.
He's reformed.
Yeah, best friends defeated the Inner Circle before Chris Jericho then destroyed Orange Cassidy with a bag of oranges.
Like, he broke those oranges. He hit him hard.
It's like literally, it was a satchel, if you will, of probably like 100 oranges, probably, well, 50 to 100. It's probably one of, they should do a game where like you have to count the number, predict the number of oranges in the orange bag, and you get to win the orange bag signed by Chris Jericho. But yeah, he struck him over the head multiple times with his orange bag.
A net full of decaying fruit.
Yeah, who wouldn't want that?
That's the new, you know how they have Jericho in the bubbly for the action figures? The next one is just going to be orange in an orange sack.
Orange Cassidy was bleeding. It's a serious blood Orange Cassidy orange. Angle. Blood orange, indeed. Chris Jericho said that. Blood orange has been juiced.
That was lame.
It's a pretty good line. Leave him alone.
Is it?
I thought it was a pretty good match, but Orange Cassidy was so good in this match. It's because it's just what the occasional reminder that Orange Cassidy is the best wrestler in this company.
Well, it's like whenever he wants that to be. Orange Cassidy is one of the best pure baby faces on the indies ever.
Do you ever think about how Orange Cassidy and New Japan main events are the same because nothing happens in the first half of their matches?
Oh, what a hot take that is, Garrett. Damn.
I was happy.
If
with that
only
tweet yesterday.
Someone would take down the New Japan main events.
I wish New Japan would take down their main events.
Damn,
and cut them in
that
half.
Was actually good. That was actually good.
Oh, got him. So yeah, we're still building toward Jericho against Orange Cassidy, which I seem to take Orange Cassidy off TV for a while. It probably should.
Nah, see, you're at Fyter Fest.
You got to sell the seriousness of oranges. You can't undermine the weapon.
Yep. Well, he wasn't announced as a manager for the tag match next week, so.
He was beaten with what he loved.
Beaten to a pulp.
Tony Schiavone was interviewing the Gun Club of Billy and Austin Gunn.
And another gun. There's a third gun now.
Who is the other gun?
There was a third gun son.
Was there?
Yeah, he's next to Austin.
I didn't even know there was the third gun.
That's where the line came from MJF, where you're getting another like talentless son hired.
Oh, well. Shows how much attention I was paying. MJF was talking, so I zoned out.
I don't know who the third Gun Club member is, but I look forward to this reformation of the Smoking Guns.
They should bring in Barrett Gunn as well, as the mentors.
Gun family.
And they should do like the LAX against OD's feud, except the Smoking Guns against the Smoking Guns.
The new Smoking Guns.
Yeah, they should do a big civil war between the Gun family. The Gun Club should implode.
The Gun Club is fine.
This was all to set up MJF against Billy next week.
And then Austin and the other gun. No, Austin and Bart form the Gun Elite.
Oh, no, stop it.
And then the Golden Guns.
Oh, well, actually, no, I'm back on board for Golden Guns. That's Kota's introduction to
He joins the Gun Club?
He joins the Gun Club to make them the Golden Guns.
You're welcome.
Sammy Guevara defeated Colt Cabana in a very nice TV match. Colt Cabana is maybe the perfect TV wrestler.
Yeah. This was like the perfect AEW mid-card TV match, I think. Like these two guys together.
As a guy who works a very like aesthetically appealing style, he's credible. He can still go even though he's 40. He can still do pretty much everything he ever did. And yeah, he's just the perfect. If you ever want to give a guy 10 minutes to give you a good 3.25 star TV match, and the kind of match that you'll never be disappointed by and never overhype in your head, and you'll just enjoy it as 10 minutes of a television show, I think Colt Cabana is the perfect wrestler.
Yeah. I remember, like, and also, every time I see Colt, I just get happy that he's on national television.
He deserves it.
Every time I see him, I'm just like, you finally got there. Good work. So, if you're going to put someone on my TV that just makes a viewer happy every time they see them, that's probably a good thing to have.
Indeed. Colt lost, and he is continuing to be recruited by the Dark Order, which is
I know what number he would be.
What number would he be, Liam?
He would be Colt 45. Thank you.
Oh, Liam, very good.
Thank you so much. You know what? You know what number Matt Riddle would be if he was recruited by the Dark Order?
Oh, what number would he be, Liam?
Oh, he'd be 420.
Oh!
You want to know what number Taguchi would be if he was recruited by the Dark Order?
No, I don't.
69.
I said I didn't want to know.
Hey, you don't want to know what number Finn Balor would be if he was recruited by the Dark Order?
What number would Finn Balor be, Liam?
55. Hey, you want to know what number Kenny Omega would be if he was recruited by the Dark Order?
What number would Kenny Omega be if he was recruited by the Dark Order, Liam?
6 1/4. Hey, you want to know what number Hiroshi Tanahashi and Kazuchika Okada would be if they were recruited by the Dark Order?
Why both of them?
Well, one of them. Do you want to know what Tanahashi would be if he was recruited by the Dark Order?
What would Tanahashi be?
He'd be 11 for 11 IWGP Heavyweight title defenses.
I would have thought he would have been 1 in 100.
Fuck, that's better.
It is better.
Hey.
Got him.
You want to know what number Scott Steiner would be? I can't do the promo. This is a good bit, though. I like this bit.
Have you run out of wrestler numbers?
Want
to know what number Sean Spears would be if he was in the Dark Order? He should be 10, Liam. Why is there already a different 10?
Now it's Preston Vance. Hey.
You done?
You want to know what number Chris Jericho would be if he joined the Dark Order?
What number would he be, Liam?
He'd be Y2J.
I see what you did there.
Get out of here, Stu.
Well, he could be like 2000.
Ah. Y2K.
Yeah.
Well, this is a good bit, and we're going to end it now.
Joey Janela and A Sunny Kiss are on TV together now.
I'm so excited for this.
They've been upgraded from Dark. We're doing full Janela Vice.
Yeah, it rules. It's so good.
Is it? I'm indifferent.
No, this is cool. This is really cool. And this vignette reminded me why I like Joey Janela.
I agree with that, actually. This was the first vignette that I was like, oh, this is Joy. This is actually Joey Janela. This feels like him instead of him trying to be somebody.
This is why I think you signed Joey Janela, because like this is what he got his hype for, the vignettes like this. And I hope you keep doing them and you don't just like chuck them out there as a tag team.
Mm.
But I am excited for this tag team. As I said like 2 weeks ago on this show when revealing Dark.
And there was a to be continued graphic at the very end of this. So there will at least be one more.
I wonder what, like, are they gonna go, like, kill Marty Jannetty or something?
They're gonna kill Marty Scurll.
Oh, no. Whoop, whoop.
Take down Ring of Honor.
That's what's gonna start the Ring of Honor invasion.
Indeed. Next week, we have Billy against MJF. We have Hangman Page and Kenny Omega against the Natural Nightmares. There will be a TNT Championship match, I guess. The Sex Gods, Sammy Guevara and Chris Jericho face best friends in a match. That should be very good.
Also,
and Young Bucks against that match, and Jimmy Havoc.
That match determines who goes to Fyter Fest to face the champions.
Oh yes, their number one contendership is on the line. So
they put it up,
or I guess number three contendership, because two teams have had title matches before them. But alas,
it was kind of fumbled. But like the idea is that they were so mad at Orange's death that they put their title opportunity on the line to get a match with Jericho.
Yeah,
Jericho, old Schiavone didn't deliver that fucking note very well.
And yeah, Jericho was on commentary this week. He was very energetic.
He was excited. I think it's because he knew that he only had to be on there for like an hour.
So he was through the roof.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card. But with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from Arena Club. .com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy slab packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club slab pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show, and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it and look, it's going to be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably going to get in those. Maybe you find that fun, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, ah, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs, and it ends up being, you know, almost nothing, you know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You get a display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading. So you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, setting these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. Keyless entry, no more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally, and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They are on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy Video Lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived, and really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys and reach in my pocket or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy Video Lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition, 1 second. Door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
For like literally everything he was shouting, but it was all right.
I like that he just hates Excalibur.
He hates the mask. He doesn't trust him. You never trust the man who you don't see the face of, as we'll learn on NXT.
There was also a really good bit where earlier in the night, And it was like, oh, Excalibur, do you know how to say cannonball in Spanish? And Excalibur was like, no, tell me. And he's like, I don't know either.
I do enjoy Chris Jericho. He's an amusing human being.
Who would have thunk, like, you know, give Jericho a stable, huh?
It's interesting, yeah. I assume you were reading the highlights, or maybe even listened to the episode of Talk to Jericho about the Inner Circle. But yeah, it was like, when he was, I was reading notes from it, it was like, that Jericho has never had a stable. It's like, oh yeah, he hasn't ever had a stable. The closest thing he had was like, Jericho, but that's a tag team.
The team.
But they were, yeah, so it's like, have him lead a group. Makes sense.
Yeah.
WWE doesn't really do stables anymore. Not well, anyway.
What was their last stable? Was the Undisputed Era as a stable?
Well, they have the Rollins thing going on as well. But, what? Like, who could possibly care?
And they had Selena Vega's thing.
So and I they lose every damn match, so.
Is what you're saying.
No, if you heard me, if you were paying attention, I said, or at least don't do them well.
They also have Sami Zayn's thing.
Is that a group, or is that just more a loose alliance of people like Braun Strowman?
They were called the something collective or something
Nightmare
like that.
Collective.
They were called like the
Mel.
Wrestling. Oh, Mel was on the
show!
Mel?
Where's Mel? Yeah, Mel needs to be featured more in Dynamite because it's been too long and she was finally on the show and she didn't do anything important.
But I saw her. I saw her there and I was like, oh, that's Mel.
So they brought in Mel just to stand there. That's what you do with Mel. That's what you do with a once-in-a-generation talent.
Ace.
That's what you do with the Hiroshi Tanahashi of AEW.
Hey,
you
Mel
just
w.
have her stand there.
You know what? Mel brought out the first audible reaction on this show for me when I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the third match, and I just saw Mel, and the guy went, Mel!
Liam was entirely unengaged with FTR or the women's match, but Mel showed up and it's like, oh, this show is cooking.
I think it was like, I saw Mel and then the next segment was the Wardlow Billy Gunn stayed out. I was like, wow, this show fucking rules.
There's going to be a day where AEW book Mel against Wardlow and this podcast will just melt down. It will end.
Meltdown?
We won't be able to handle it.
There's going to be a day when Wardlow faces someone for the world title and Mel faces someone for the women's title and we're just gonna die. Just straight up die.
Speaking of dying, Brian Cage threw John Moxley into the back of a car.
In the most, like, this is obviously gonna end in a backstage brawl thing ever.
Yeah, Mox was cutting his promo in the parking lot, and we know from watching NXT that parking lots are very dangerous places.
Or are they?
Taz showed up, is like, what the hell do you want? Then Cage jumped from behind, threw him into a car. They're wrestling at Fyter Fest.
He showed up and he's like, yo, don't talk shit, bro. He was really offended at what Mox was saying.
It was just a distraction, Liam. He had to be performatively angry at what John Moxley was saying, so John Moxley would be distracted.
Did you like Cage's skinny jeans?
I didn't really notice, so
they were ridiculously skinny.
You gotta make his legs look big, I guess.
That's not what that does. That does the opposite, in fact. Skinny is in the name.
Cody defeated Mark Wendt for retaining the TNT Championship in our AEW Dynamite main event.
This is alright. Mark Wendt has some cool moves.
Pretty good. It did have the selling thing that I hate, where they work over the leg, and the only way they sell it is they do all of their moves exactly the same, but then they hold their leg after, and I'm like, ugh.
I was going to say, I actually thought Mark Quinn's selling of leg was alright.
Now that, like, it's the like, you have to meaningfully have it. Like, he did fall off the ropes, I'll give him that, but then he just went and did all of his stuff, and
well,
I'm like, you can't just do all of your stuff just a little bit slower and then grab your leg. That doesn't, like, meaningfully, that just slows down your match. It doesn't actually add a meaningful layer to it.
My thing is, like, I'd rather you at least do it than not do it than just completely forget about the leg.
But that's, if you're going to do that, just do your match then. Don't bother with the leg match.
Eh, I don't know. I didn't mind
it. Other than that,
cynic.
It was a good match. I am a cynic. I think selling is stupid and no one should do it. But if you do it really well.
Have a reason.
Cody won with a new leg lock deal. Cody,
I
like
love that
leg
lock. I thought it was real mean and real, like, gross.
It looked very good. It did look very good. He didn't catch the shooting star very well, but because the idea was, like, he was supposed to grab the leg and do an ankle lock and then transition into that.
Well, catching spots are mostly bad. Sorry.
Well, but you still have to do them well. Yeah, but still, good match.
And then
again, not a great match. It's not John Cena open challenge level stuff here.
Well, he's not wrestling Sami Zayn, is he?
And Neville.
And Seth Rollins. And
Cesaro.
And Zack Ryder.
Woo, woo, woo. And Cody.
Oh, maybe
Cody
one day he will wrestle Zack Ryder in an open challenge.
Then we'll be able to compare directly.
If Zack Ryder busts out, sorry, if Matt Cardona busts out a 450, we'll know.
Yeah, so.
And we're getting after the match. Him and Jake next week, probably.
They said Fyter Fest.
Did they?
They did.
What if he's not champion at Fyter Fest?
Yeah, what if he loses it next week? That's a very good point. If he's defending it next week, one presumes. He said he's defending it every week, but Cody expressly said Fyter Fest. Yeah. So, there you go. That's AEW Dynamite. Solid show. Everything was pretty good. Nothing was great. Except maybe FTR. FTR, I might say, was great. Yeah. Other than that.
That was the highlight for me.
Which takes us over to WWE NXT, your favorite show every week.
Yeah. Want to talk about our wish for the PS5 first?
Oh, yeah. PS5 reveal is today, which very upsetting that they did it. Well, and we're recording on time for once.
I legitimately considered postponing it so we could talk about the PS5.
You'll have to come back next week when it's week old news to hear our takes about the PlayStation 5.
What are your wish lists?
There's a lot of rumblings about Final Fantasy 16, which would be exciting.
Oh, it's going to be more than just a, hey, here's the price point of the PlayStation deal. It's going to be like a game thing.
I think they have to have some games. They're not just going to talk about it. If they don't reveal any games, I'll think it's a bit of a dud. Because, like, this thing is going to be expensive, and I think it's going to be more expensive than most people expect. So you gotta justify that. You can't just come out and say, look at the fancy graphics, and it'll be $650.
See, my thing, I just thought this was going to be a Sony-only thing, where it's like, here's the PlayStation, look at the media features that it has. Look what it looks like, here's the money.
If they're just like, here's what the box looks like, and here's what the UI looks like, and here's what the menu looks like,
and here's your release date,
controller, and the release date, I will think that's a bad reveal. They need games. Like, for God's sake, I'm sick of these consoles not having games. I want to see video games on these next-gen consoles.
Okay, now let's go to the wish list.
So yeah, Final Fantasy 16 would be pretty cool. Bloodborne 2, obviously.
That Bloodborne 2 is the big one, I think. Or at least a double, like... They tease us first and they go, Bloodborne Remaster, PlayStation 5. And then they go, ha 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 ha, Bloodborne 2.
Why would you need a remaster? I suppose I think Bloodborne's 30 FPS, which is the reason everyone wants it on PC, which apparently is also coming.
Yeah, it's going to PC. Bluepoint.
So yeah.
Doing Demon's Souls. And they'll probably announce a Demon's Souls remaster.
Which has been in the works. There's some new Crash merchandise that was leaked, so people are thinking a new Crash game.
Announce maybe a God of War sequel, but like have nothing but a logo.
The stuff you know they have in development, like another Spider-Man game, nearly certainly coming. Another God of War game, nearly certainly coming. Another Horizon game, nearly certainly coming.
If you start us off with a Spider-Man announcement and you end us off with a Bloodborne 2, that's a good... I'm fine with that.
You know what I think is going to be the launch title?
The number one launch title?
Yeah.
Last of Us 3.
Horizon Zero Dawn 2.
That's cool. The first game was really good.
I think that's going to be their launch title. That's my hot take. My nailed on, we're never wrong prediction is they reveal Horizon Zero Dawn 2 as a PS5 launch title.
Well, I think they're going to reveal AEW wrestling video game.
You got very excited that Xbox were going to reveal the AEW game. Is this the time?
Don't say very excited like I actually expected it to happen.
You were like, I really can't wait until they show Chris Jericho on the Xbox conference and he'll pull the veil off the Xbox Series X.
No.
And underneath will be All Elite Wrestling Dynamite Elite.
What you actually do is you have Chris Jericho come in. And it's like a screen. First, it just looks like a screen, right? And then Jericho comes in, and then he hits it with the bat, and then the screen falls away, and it's the gameplay reveal.
And the gameplay reveal is of a retro-style 1980s video game with Chris Jericho.
It's Fire Pro, but AEW.
It's No Mercy, but AEW.
I think people would want that, though.
Especially if it looks like it.
That's what the
big blocky polygons from the early PS1 and N64 era.
Yeah. But you know what I want to be announced?
What do you want to be announced?
Give me a second while I think of an answer to a prompt that I gave myself.
Devil May Cry 6.
Oh, yeah, that's the obvious one, but at least give me my DLC. I want Tekken 8.
Super Smash Brothers for PlayStation 5.
PlayStation All-Stars 2.
Legit. They should do it. Do it right.
Do it good. I don't know what I want.
Do it good.
What's like the main Sony thing that I want?
Legitimately, what I want is to look at that conference tonight, or that whatever they do, and see this is the next generation. Because I don't think we've seen that from Xbox yet. The closest we've come to seeing it is from Epic with their freaking Unreal trailer. So I want to be able to just look at these games, whatever they show tonight, and say this is why this next console generation exists. And then I'll get it, and I'll understand why you want me to pay what will probably be $600 for a video game console.
Ugh, 600 minimum. US, so 800 Australian.
People think it's going to be 500, and I'm like, I don't know.
I think it's going to be 600 US.
I think it'll be 600 US as well, and I think people, there'll be a lot of hand, I actually think it might be even more expensive again, but we shall find out.
I think my guesstimate would be 550 to 600.
Based on my Twitter poll yesterday?
Well, I voted in the Twitter poll. I voted for 600, but I always thought 550-ish, but then like I was like,
Like my former prediction is 600 or 650.
And then I'll take 550 to 600, and we'll see via Price is Right rules.
WNXT opened with Adam Cole. He was like, hey, I won. Dexter Lumis and Roderick Strong kept seeing Dexter Lumis, and we kept seeing Dexter Lumis. So Dexter Lumis was there and teleported away, or just ducked below the railing. Which I guess is pretty plausible. But,
I like the idea that like the NXT talents in the crowd were like, "What is this fucking? What are you doing? Stand up!" Because like he's crawling around. That's how he's getting from spot to spot. Xia Li is there. Like, what are you doing?
They should have had a camera behind there just to, like watching.
I've come to the full conclusion that Dexter Lumis is just NXT's boogeyman.
And he's coming to get you.
Like he just is the boogeyman character. Like, everyone's legitimately terrified of him, and he has supernatural powers.
I wish I had supernatural powers.
I do.
Oh.
Mm.
That's where you get all your predictions from.
See, the ability to have correct takes constantly.
Oh, that is a supernatural power when you look at the world around us.
I'm never wrong, and you're never... Like, via proxy, you get some of my power to be never wrong as well.
That's why I had you on the podcast.
That's why we're here. This is a low energy podcast right at this point. We're just like, it's NXT.
Isn't it that case every week with NXT?
Yeah, this week was extra nothing.
I liked some things in NXT, particularly what we're going to talk about next. I enjoyed Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae against Keith Lee and Medium. I thought it was a fun match. I particularly liked the finish.
I hated the finish.
No, it's not even the finish. It's the way they did the finish. Because when Gargano rolled up Keith Lee, the unconscious corpse of Candice LeRae just rolled all the way out of the ring. And then Gargano spent the rest of the time celebrating with her unconscious body, like lifting her arm. And she was showing no signs of life. She was still thoroughly unconscious. And that did amuse me.
I hated it. I liked, you know, the corpse being flung, but, like, as far as... It makes Keith Lee look like a fucking idiot. Like,
but he's a nice guy who doesn't...
She's a professional wrestler. Her job is to get hurt for a living. Why are you taking... No, this is stupid. It's like...
The rules of a mixed tag match are that the men cannot hurt the women.
That's fine. That's fine. If he was DQ'd, whatever. Who cares if she takes a hit? It's her job to take a hit.
It is against the rules of the wrestling contest.
The rules are irrelevant.
So he was understandably concerned. No, no. Because it's not part of the athletic fighting endeavor to hurt the women. So that the fact that he hurt the woman, he's a good guy. He is concerned about it.
It's fucking stupid, and it made him look like a big dumb idiot.
He's a nice guy who's just concerned about somebody's health, Liam. Come on.
Well, nice guys finish last, and that's why he lost.
He did in fact lose. He was pinned by Johnny Gargano. One would assume building to another match between them. Who knows?
Like, the cynic in me just feels like Gargano was supposed to win, but then they wanted to do the Black Lives Matter thing, and they're like, we don't want him to lose after he does it.
Yeah.
That was like, okay.
Well, they started building toward Keith Lee and Finn Balor later in the show as well, so Keith Lee has two programs going
on. The fucking snake.
Of course, he did signal his intent to go after the North American Championship, so they could have Gargano beat Keith Lee and then go to Finn against Gargano.
Because, yeah, Keith Lee started doing stuff with Cole.
Indeed, so they could start pivoting all of those programs away. We went to an interview with Damian Priest.
That they have still on the roster.
Their roster is weird, because they've signed everybody on Earth, but their roster is, like,
five
somehow
people.
Very stale, and nobody is ever, like, feeling like they have momentum, and everyone, like, I don't know, it's weird. I don't understand how this has happened.
Mm-hmm.
We went to an interview with Damian Priest, who was like, I lost, but I had a good match, so I'm a babyface now.
I don't know. I'm kind of into Damian Priest as a babyface.
I don't mind him as a baby. I thought that, like, this is a babyface turn is stupid, though. He just lost to Finn Balor, and he's like, I had a good fight. I'm a nice guy now.
It did feel like we're going to lose Dijakovic to Raw, so let's make him the new Dijakovic. His gear was so tight. Like, tight as in cool.
Toit instead of the tight pants on Brian Cage.
Yeah, as soon as I saw that white gear in like the highlight package, when I watched the match, I was like, bro, this guy, I'm into it. I'm back into Damian Priest now. Although I did see when I was watching the match that like Finn did his little finger guns and then Priest did like the arrow shoot thing at him, and I was like, that's so stupid.
Pew 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 pew. Everyone was pew pewing their respective pew pews.
It's like Styles and Nakamura from Wrestle Kingdom.
Eating the bullet.
Except that was cool.
Oh, it's cool if it happens in Japan.
It's cool if it happens at the Tokyo Dome.
Alright. Damian Priest can't do his arrows in the frickin' NXT arena.
Because why is he a fucking archer?
Because he's the archer of infamy.
Then why does he use a Billy Club?
He's Legolas. He's other famous archers.
Then hit people with an archer. Free.
Well, he's a nice boy now, so he can't. He's a babyface. He won't shoot anybody.
That's a babyface thing to do.
Shoot people with bows.
Then we got the return of I'm just skipping past the Cameron Grimes bit because I saw it on sheet. Shut up. They played Io's real theme again. That's all I wanted to say.
Oh, cool.
They had Poppy on the show again.
I was going to say, they had an entire skit with Cameron Grimes that I was like, why do you even... Poor Cameron... Poor Trevor Lee just cannot escape being a clown, can he?
He's a comedy character now.
The dude probably has the potential, if pushed properly, to be like the next Bryan Danielson.
Actually, when I saw him wrestling in the Bella match, it gave me a bit of like, oh, I remember why I like him so much.
Yeah, and he just cannot escape being booked like just a comic buffoon.
He got a big elbow to the face.
Mostly because of his accent, I'd imagine. But yes, he was hit in the face, then he was like, I can't compete, I was hit in the face. Then William Regal was like, you're hitting on girls, you can compete. And that was it.
Dude, that
was the story.
All the time.
I like the idea that there's a referee that wanders around backstage just carrying William Regal on an iPad to solve problems.
The anonymous NXT GM.
Inda sure defeated some jobbers. Much better squash than the last squash.
This
I thought
was
they
so
looked,
sick.
They looked good here.
This was a straight up Wardlow squash.
They just killed them with some shoulder blocks and shit, and then hit a sidewalk slam leg drop deal, and they won.
Yeah, it was sick.
I said, much better squash for Inda sure than their first one. We had a video on Breezango telling us all about who they are. They're clowns until the bell rings when they get serious.
I actually thought this was pretty good.
I still don't want them to be clowns.
But they said that this series, once the bell rings.
I don't care.
All
like,
right.
I don't mind them being funny. I don't mind them being having personality. But, like, just don't come out in spacesuits. Come on.
Don't be cops.
These two are long past these, like, comedy character roles. Like, Fandango's been on television for a decade.
Which they showed us when he won his match at WrestleMania in front of 8,000 people against no one.
He beat nobody, yes. But that's stupid. Why wouldn't you show him beating Chris Jericho?
Why wouldn't you show him beating AEW, like, ace Chris Jericho?
Yeah, if it's more petty to show him beating Chris Jericho, not less. Be more petty, AEW.
They were in a lose-lose situation because we would have called them out on it regardless.
But at the very least, I'm a fan of petty saltiness. I can get on board with, like,
smash
showing
throne.
Footage of of the jobber guy from WWE NXT pinning Chris Jericho just because it's kind of funny. And yeah, I'd be on board with that. Don't shy away from that. Be more petty.
You know what I would do? Each week I'd release like a best of Cody Rhodes and a best of Chris Jericho and a best of Jack Swagger, and it just all be matches in which they lose.
Or it's just an empty video.
It's just an hour of a black screen.
Yes.
See, that's why we need to be put in charge of everything.
Throw some shade.
Yeah, we need to get a bit more, like, AEW's like hits its petty like moments every now and again, but I need some more like fire back. Although I think the entire Robert Stone thing is kind of a petty shot.
Oh, he's meant to be Tony Khan?
Yeah.
Speaking of, Rhea Ripley was being interviewed after her defeat at TakeOver. Ripley, I don't even remember what she said. She probably said something. Oi, Robert Stone walked up. Yes, you do the stereotypical accent.
Oi, I fucking lost. yeah. Cuz.
Robert Stone walked up, proposed that he join the Robert Stone brand, and then Rhea Ripley dumped him in a bin, which was actually quite rude. Like, Robert Stone was just making a business offer.
It looked like a hell of a bump, too.
It looked like it hurt. I was wondering, like, what she dropped him in first, because it looked like it hurt, and I was like, oh, it's a bin. All right.
But, like, his head was close to hitting that bin. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, poor Robbie. Rhea Ripley's not on the list.
Bro.
Finn Balor defeated Cameron Grimes in what you pointed out earlier, a good match. I enjoyed this match.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty damn good match, too. I liked, there's no point to me making, like, I like the chops in the match. That's all I was going to say. It makes no, like, there's no addition. Like, no one's getting anything extra from me mentioning that. The chops in the match were good.
But were the chops in the match good, Liam?
Yeah.
Nice.
Sick, bro. NXT. NXT. NXT.
That's the depth of analysis that you can give to NXT. It's like, the chops were good.
The problem is, each and every NXT match, first, there's 25 of them on each show.
Yeah.
And none of them stay in my head the minute after I watch them.
Yeah.
Not a single thing from them except, like, the result. And half the time, that doesn't even stay.
Candice LeRae falling over. I do think Finn is almost veered into underrated territory at this stage. He's having good. He's probably the best wrestler on the show consistently, and he doesn't get that credit. So give Finn more credit. He's good again.
The fucking snakes in the park.
Casey Catanzaro lost to Dakota Kai. That's about it.
See what I mean?
Yeah, Caden Carter tried to make.
Do
a
you
save.
See there what you I go. Mean?
It's like when you're lazy in TEW and you like you book a squat and then you do the standard attack and save.
Do you
and that
remember
was this.
What happened in that match?
I do have a problem with the go to kick. I've come to realize that name makes absolutely no
I
sense.
I thought the same thing while watching, because go to sleep. The whole point of it is you're getting here and then you go to sleep. Go to kick is like literally go to the kick.
It should be called Kick to Sleep. Why is it called KTS instead of GTK? It makes no sense.
I can't believe that we both thought of that on the same episode of NXT.
It upset both of us.
Also, the Caden Carter run-in like looked extra planned and choreographed. Mm. Like, it didn't feel like a natural fighting position at all.
Or that she was naturally responding to what was happening. It's like, I'm hitting my cue. Yeah.
And also, apparently her and Casey are tag partners. I was like, okay, I don't remember that.
No, neither do I. I don't really, Casey has been on this show enough for me to remember. I remember Casey more from American Ninja Warrior than I do from NXT.
When she took the Wicked Step Sister move.
She ran up the warped wall on American Ninja Warrior.
She was in the Royal Rumble.
Was that on American Ninja Warrior?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Phantasma turned heel. This annoyed me so much. Why would he do it here? Why would he, like, reveal himself as the bad guy the week after he won the title? Like, there was no reason for him to unveil his evil enterprise here. Like, there was a reason last week so he could win the title. He could have done the turn last week and it would have actually had some impact. It would have made sense because you want to unveil your master plan so you could win the fancy prize. He already won the fancy prize pretty much without the help of his goons.
Well, no, and then he's just like, no, the goons were like the direct result of him winning last week.
They ran in and Spud ran them off.
Yeah, and then, Spud ran them off and then got thrown back in the ring by him and lost. That's what happened.
Still, that you do the turn there. It's stupid that you do it here.
But Liam was right. From the beginning. No, we're not going past this. Give him my due.
I'm not moving past this. I was going to point out that Tom Phillips was like, oh, those guys were kidnapped. It's like, this is the first mention of Joaquin Wilde and Raul Mendoza on the show in 3 months.
Okay, very good. We've recapped it. Give me my due now.
Congratulations, Liam. You did successfully predict that Phantasma was in fact behind it all along.
Thank you.
Santos Escobar.
Santos Escobar.
I wonder, is there any relation to Eric Escobar? Eric Escobar?
I do remember Eric Escobar. Love interest of Vicky Guerrero for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Remember that?
They did like a cool double splash neck snap thing.
Mm.
And DJZ's hair has grown out and he looks cool.
He does look cool. I did also notice that DJZ looks cool with hair. DJZ's cool. He's a good wrestler. Do things with DJZ, you stupid show.
I was going to skip ahead. I know, go back actually to the Timothy Thatcher vignette.
Oh, yeah. Why is he a clown? Why is he also a goof now?
He's not a goof. He's hosting a murder trial, but the
his delivery here felt very like corny and cheesy, so it didn't feel like menacing or threatening. It's like, oh, all right.
You know what my favorite bit was?
What?
He was like, go get your lawyer. I don't know why he's British. Go get your lawyers to check this out. And I was like, no wrestlers have lawyers.
Hey, some of them have agents. That's where Drew Gulak got his negotiation from.
Old Drulac.
Old Drew Gulak.
So next week he's going to murder them, so... this is basically the Ring of Samoa Joe deal from old Ring of Honor.
Yes, definitely. I know that reference.
Where Joe would start the show by like doing a, like, hey, this is my trainee thing. I'm going to show you how to do this move. And then he'd like beat up the guy really badly.
You know what it's really like?
Double J, double MMA.
That was the exact reference I was going to make.
Yeah, I knew.
God damn it, I'm so predictable.
Will it involve TNA?
Next week we will have the NXT Women's Tag Team Champions against Tegan Nox, Shotzi Blackheart, whoever the tag team champions are. Who are the current champions? Bayley and Sasha?
you
definitely know.
The NXT like crowd is so awful. It's so bad. You deserve it means nothing. When it's just your peers.
Maybe it means more when it's your peers, Liam.
It doesn't.
And we also have
fall and pray.
We also have Imperium against the Breezango next week for the tag titles. So,
Ooh.
Before we had our main event, Adam Cole defeated Dexter Lumis. I wonder if it's just they seem to be pivoting back to Lumis against Roderick Strong. But it would be funny if this was just the end of the weird Dexter Lumis Undisputed Era feud.
Yep.
Tell me all about this match. What do you remember from this match?
I remember the finish.
It was a knee to the head after a distraction because he had his Koji clutch.
The Kaja Hajime.
There you go.
And he hit him with a kick, and then he hit the running knee, and then he oogity boogity boogity scared Roderick Strong away.
Yeah, then Dream came out, so it was just Adam Cole Scarlett.
Can we go back for a second? At one point in the show, like, Undisputed Era are just 2007 DX now. Like,
yeah, pretty much.
All of their background, like, backstage segments, they just feel like 2007 DX. And, like, Roderick Strong going, whoa, there's a picture. And Cole going, what do you mean? Who could that be from? Who do you think it's fucking from? I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done with this show.
Well, no, you had Scarlett show up and then Karrion Kross's thing appeared and that's going to be the big thing. Karrion Kross and
Hourglasses
don't
tick. Hourglasses don't tick. Hourglasses don't tick. Hourglasses don't tick. Hourglasses don't tick.
TikTok. 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 TikTok.
Fall and pray. Fall and pray. Fall.
Retweet skull emoji. Rock hands.
TikTok. Tick.
That's something literally one person on the earth will get.
They don't.
It's a countdown to the expiration of Adam Cole's contract, Liam.
Do you think that's actually what it's going to be?
Well, like, if freaking... If they've hotshotted Cross to beat him, sure.
I can't wait for Adam Cole, Bebe, to super kick John Moxley in the back of the head at Fyter Fest.
To debut in front of nobody like everybody else in the last 6 months.
You know what's funny? I think that would irritate me more than anyone else that's debuted. Because, you know, that would be like the same pop as Mox.
Probably bigger.
Also, he's dead, so he'd have to come in some sort of Undertaker character.
Which they should definitely do.
Do you think? Man, I could see it. I really could see it.
You know what? Like they, you know what they should have done. He's not currently available, but instead of Killer Cross being the guy to beat Adam Cole, they should have just broken up Undisputed Era and made it to Kyle O'Reilly. If he's leaving, that should have been the program they did.
And start just like keep doing Undisputed Era, but with Kyle as the main guy.
Well, you could do the Civil War and decide where Strong and Fish go. But yeah, Cole against Kyle is the program I would have done instead.
And then they
Cross.
Finish it in Hybrid Rules.
You're a Hybrid Rule.
Okay.
Which is your match of the week?
Fall and Prey. Well, it's FTR versus the Butcher and the Blade.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
I want to give a special shout out to the Wardlow match.
He didn't have a match.
Yeah, the Wardlow match.
Indashir
versus Enhancement Talent, the Wardlow match. Right.
Squash matches no longer exist. There are now Wardlow matches.
Every day is Wardlow match day.
Yeah, I'd also be FTR against Butcher and the Blade. Show of the week!
I wonder which one I liked more. The one that I could stand to talk about more than 20 minutes.
Also probably AEW. 80%, 20% to the poll. 81%, sorry, 19% if I'm rounding. AEW for the poll. So there you go. Decisive victory for All Elite Wrestling Dynamite again. I didn't hate this week's NXT, honestly. I thought it was fine.
Yeah, but it's just not compelling in any way.
Yeah, there's like, no depth there. It's like, no substance, really. It's, but it wasn't. I didn't find it actively bad.
No, I didn't think it was bad either. I just think there's nothing to talk about from it. Because nothing matters. It's like when you watch, you put on a random episode of The Simpsons while you're playing a video game. Just to have background noise. It's the background noise of the pro wrestling world.
You can put that on the poster, Triple H.
On their Patreon.
You can follow us on Twitter if you'd like to vote in the poll every week at WarGamesPod.
Does NXT actually have a Patreon?
No, they don't.
He made the joke and it's like, did I miss Triple H starting an NXT Patreon?
Only the NWA has a Patreon.
Is that true?
Yes, they do, for Carney Land.
But you know who else has a Patreon?
John. Go sub to John's Patreon. Say. Yeah, go
sub.
Do that.
Get it. Get out there. Go sub.
Go support John's Patreon. You can follow me on Twitter at GarrettKidney, or ATTKADNY. You can't follow Liam on Twitter at Larrikin. You can listen to...
Just follow the War Games Twitter, man. I made a cool post about that on there today.
And yeah, if you followed the War Games Twitter, you would have understood what Liam was saying, like 2 hours before he said it.
Wow.
He workshopped his whole TikTok bit on Twitter.
Oh my god, Karrion Kross and Scarlett just started TikTok.
They shouldn't. It should all just be them saying Fall and Prey and TikTok.
A flim flam.
You're a flim flam. If you'd like more Elite coverage in your podcast feed, you can listen to Everything Elite. If you'd like more WWE television show coverage in your podcast feed, you can listen to Shake Them Ropes. Thanks for listening, and bye-bye.
Bye.